You're listening to the Legacy Church podcast, recorded in Liberty Lake, Washington. For more information, jump on our website, legacychurchwa.com.
Hey, so let's dive in. We're starting a new series today. We're talking about these three, the title of the series, These Three, Faith, Hope, and Love. And out of 1 Corinthians 13, some would call that the love chapter. Maybe even here, how many of you have either heard that besides a message on a Sunday? Maybe you even had that scripture read in your wedding. Anybody have that, like, read in your wedding, or you've heard it in weddings or that type of thing? It's really some of the most beautiful language that Paul, I think, some of his best writing. For sure, it's all great, but I love the language that he uses. And I'd like us to read most of it together out of 1 Corinthians 13. So check it out. It'll be up on the screens for you. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And here's our series. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It's love. Lord, I ask you to just open up our hearts, God, to even the beginning of this series, God, this what you would have for us. I pray it would go deep and it would really be transformative in our thinking and how we process faith, hope, and love as your church, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. These three things last forever. Faith, hope, and love. Everything else is fleeting. Everything else is temporal. Everything else is not going to last. It's not going to last. I mean, how many of you love the smell of new car? And it doesn't, how many of you know that fades quickly? I don't care how much of the new car spray you buy and spray into your car, it doesn't smell like new car. So you might as well throw that stuff away because it's not working, right? It just doesn't work. It's fading. Everything loses its luster. It loses its beauty, and it fades away. It's temporary. It's interesting. I have officiated a lot of funerals and memorial services over the years. And we'll often meet with families prior to, and they'll sit in my office. We'll talk about the preparation and what, tell me about the individual's life. And it's a very sacred time and moment. And in those meetings, never once, I don't have any recollection of not one time. Really doesn't matter. Didn't matter either that whether the person was a Christ follower or not, had a life of faith, lived a life of faith or not. Never did they ever come to me and say, hey, could you talk about like the square footage of his house? Because I think he'd like that mentioned. Could you talk about his bank account that he had acquired? Could you mention that in your, no one's ever asked me to say like how many cars he has at home and the type of car he drove or she drove, you know, up to the end. I mean, no one's ever wanted that said. And I know that sounds a little bit No one's ever mentioned that to me because whether they, again, lived a life of faith or not, they want something. The conversation usually cycles or circles around faith, hope, and love. It just goes back there. That they want to know that there was something there of substance and heart. It's like the gentleman, when we were pastoring in Detroit, a gentleman came to me and he said, "Pastor Gary," he goes, "I just want you to know, I want to live a life of faith, man. I want to do something for God. I want to live for God." He goes, "Because when I die, I want you to officiate my funeral. I want you to officiate my funeral, and I don't want you to have to make up something nice to say about me." That's what he said. I quote it. I said, "Wow, okay, all right," because it really, again, revolves around life, circles around these three things. These are the things that remain, and if you know ahead of time that these are the things that are going to last forever, then you might want to invest there, right? You might want to pay attention to that a little bit. So let me define faith for you today, and we'll unpack this a little bit on this journey together. Faith is, it carries several meanings. The Greek word pistuo is a belief in God. To believe in God, it's a persuasion, a God persuasion to believe. It carries in probably the most simplistic definition that really will help us wrap our minds around what this idea of faith is. It's simple trust in God. Simple trust in God or in the Word of God. Simple trust in God, in the Word of God, and then supplemental to that definition. In other words, you can't say that, simple trust in God and the Word of God, without the idea of understanding this sense of active obedience. So when you talk about it, it's a trusting in God with an active obedience. Faith and action, trusting God. And action, they go hand in hand. James in the Bible speaks to that. He says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing and you say, 'Goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well,' but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless." Faith and action, faith and action. Here's another important scripture verse when we're defining, understanding faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith shows the reality of what we hope for, and it is the evidence of things we cannot see." Faith, another translation says, faith is a substance of things hoped for. And it's the evidence of those things not yet seen. Substance. I believe God. It's what we hope for. Faith is not content to live, though, in hope alone. It's got to do something to move towards that. It's got to see some evidence. It has vision. It has vision to see faith. It has vision to see what is not as though it was. You meet people who have like just a unique level of faith or even a gift of faith. There's this sense that they can communicate things that you can't see. "Oh yeah, we're going to do that." "You can do what?" "Yeah, we're going to start that. We're going to do that thing." And it's like, "Well, really? How are you going to?" And it's going to happen. I just know it. It's this kind of faith that says, "I believe in God. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to actuate it. I'm going to make it happen. I'm not content to just say, 'I got faith.'" Yeah, I got faith. It's like you'll hear, you'll be in a conversation, they're talking about Bob over there, and Bob, you know, something different about Bob. "Well, what do you think's different about him? I don't know, he's a lot nicer now. There's just something different in his demeanor. What do you think it is?" "I think he got faith." "What do you mean he got faith?" "I think he got faith." Nobody knows what that means. "Like, oh, he got faith. Like he got religion or something." What does that even mean? I think it goes beyond that. I'm not content to just say, I got faith. I'm going to do something with it. I want to give you two epic stories from Scripture that really depict this, and the Bible's full of them, full of stories of faith, full of it. But there's one that in the Old Testament that I'll use today. When I say the name David, who would be his arch nemesis? Come on. What'd you say? Did you say Tom Brady? I'm sorry. Did you say Goliath? It took me a long time. I really worked on that. I thought I mulled over that joke, and it was half funnier in my head. David and Goliath. So David and Goliath is an amazing account. David, let's just back up a little bit. David believed in God. He loved God. He watched sheep out in a field, and he worshiped God. He was a lover of God. Dad sends him over to the front lines to the Israelites to find out what's going on. They're in a confrontation with the Philistines. You're familiar with the story. And he shows up there, and and they're at an impasse. And this giant Goliath is out there ridiculing, making fun of, taunting them. See, David believed God, had faith in God, loved God. There was a moment, though, in his faith, in his mind, it needed to act. He needed to act on his faith. When? When the giant threatened to take out his people. When? When a giant tried to diminish the size of his God, something in him, some alarms went off. Like, what? Are you kidding me? Is this really happening right now? That was David's cue, the taunting. Taunting, send out a man. Who are you, you puny? Something in him said, that's not going to happen. It was his cue to get involved. See, the Israelites saw a giant, and it intimidated them. But David, you know what David saw? David saw a dead giant. He saw things that were not as though they were. He didn't just hope it dead. He charged out there like a crazy man with some strings and rocks. And interesting, see, these accounts, we read those and go, oh, yeah, that's good. I mean, no, those are accounts that to read more than just at bedtime for Junior. Now, that's powerful for Junior. I would read that literally to Colton and our kids. We had a Bible with pictures. It's the most amazing, amazing Bible with pictures. We read that. All the accounts of Scripture. And it's just an amazing book. The story of David and Goliath was the most worn story in the book. Because every time we read it to Colton, he wanted the story of David and Goliath, and it was dirty and crinkled up, and he just wanted to hear that story over and over and over. But I want to tell you something. It's more than just to read to our kids at bedtime. It's to be a reminder to us that when the enemy comes in and he tries to mess with your marriage, and he tries to mess with your kids, and he tries to taunt you and tell you your faith is small and you're not going anywhere, you're not doing nothing, It ought to incite in us a sense of, not today, devil, not today. It ought to activate our faith. It ought to stir something in us to go to war, right? It ought to stir something in us to go to war. We're not just gonna hope our marriage gets better. No, we're gonna step in, we're gonna lean into it. We're gonna hear God. We're not just gonna hope our kids are okay. We're gonna pray for them. We're gonna go to war for our kids. We're gonna believe God is gonna rescue them. Faith with action. Faith with action. There's a woman in Scripture who had a bleeding disease in the New Testament. And some of the backstory is Jesus is out and he's walking through the crowds of people. Jairus, this man, comes up to him in a panic and says, hey, I got a daughter who's dying, and could you come and pray for her? Would you? And he's kind of making his way that way, and then all of a sudden he stops. Now, if you're Jairus, you're going, what in the world? Come on. And it's this woman Look, pick it up in Scripture with me, Mark 5. This is worth reading. Listen to this closely. Jesus went with him, Jairus, and all the people followed, crowding around him. And a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. And she had suffered a great deal from many doctors. And over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she'd gotten worse. And she had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him. She had heard about Jesus, so came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe, for she thought to herself, if you underline in your Bible, this is a great spot. If I can just touch the robe, if I could just touch his robe, I will be healed. And immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and he asked, "Who touched my robe?" Now, just pause there for a minute. Imagine that. There's a crowd of people. Everybody's kind of bumping into him, and they're like the disciples around him, and bump, all of a sudden he just stops. Hey, who touched me? Who touched me? You think about it. Just crazy. The disciples are like, what in the world? His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the, imagine this, like she's hiding, right? She's like, who is it? And she's hiding. She comes out trembling, the Bible says, with fear at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering's over." And when he said those words, I don't know about you, but I believe, and I'm just a little, my thinking on this, I'll clarify it when I get to heaven. I think he knew where she was all along. I think he wanted her to come out from the crowd because he wanted to affirm her faith in front of everybody. He wanted her to come out from the crowd, and even though she was, and she fell to her knees. I think he went down to his knees and he used that loving language, "Daughter, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Smile. You're not going to have to suffer anymore." To affirm her faith, right? Because here's why. Because Jesus loves when we activate our faith, when we do something with it, when we trust him, when we take a risk and we push through crowds and we just to reach in and touch the hem of his garment, just to lean in a little bit closer, just to believe God a little bit more for our kids, for our family, for our homes, for our marriage, just to do a little something more, to say, "God, I believe in you, but I'm not just going to sit back here. I think if I touch his garment, I'm going to be made whole." There's a scripture that really backs this up in Hebrews. It says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith." Now, that's not a negative. Because anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. He wants to just affirm your faith. He wants to celebrate it. He wants to say, "Way to go, man. That was amazing." See, and not only does he affirm it, but he wants to reward it. This is the Bible. So for David's faith, right, when he stepped out, he said, "Hey, I'll take the giant out, man. I'll do it." David's faith pleased God, and the reward was victory for his people. And ultimately, not only just a reward or victory for his people, but a moving forward, an accelerating of David's destiny. People saw something when David was out there. And then he grabbed his sword, and this kind of gets a little graphic, so we'll keep it PG. Took his head off. People said, "I could follow that. I'll follow that kind of faith." For the woman to reach in and touch the hem of Jesus' garment, he rewarded her, not just with healing for her body. And I love that he felt the power flow from him. Here's what it tells me. There was something different about the touch, right? Everybody was bumping into him, but here was somebody who wasn't just bumping into him. This was somebody who said, "I believe if I touch him, I'll be made whole." What do you got to do today to reach out and touch him? What do you got to do today to say, Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are, and you can heal my body, and I'm going to reach in through this crowd. I'm going to touch you. And by the way, the guy that was waiting for his daughter, Jairus, she was healed. He didn't even have to. Just two for one. That's all I'm saying. Two for one in that moment. See, faith is both, watch, proposition and practice. It's creed and it's conduct. It's belief and it's behavior. It's cognitive, yet it's active. It's that thing. Faith is that when God touches you deep in your soul, you have to do something about it. So it's not enough to say, I got faith. Yeah, I got faith. I go to church. And yeah, when I go to church, I take my church bag and I go to church with my church bag, and I get home, I put my church bag down, and I grab my work bag and I go to work, and then I put that down when I get home, and I got my family bag, and this is what my family, and then I go through, and I got this bag for my hobbies, and I take my hobby bag and my workout bag, and then I got this bag for me time. I got my me time bag. I gotta have some me time. And then it cycles back. Oh, it's Sunday. I'm going to pick up my church bag. I'm going to, now I'm going to go to church, right? And we do that, and we so miss. It's like, that's not how Jesus designed our faith. He designed our faith to really encompass all that we are, right? Every bag, like all of it in faith, for faith in Jesus to flow through all of it. Faith in action, faith in action. So I want to give you three mandates or three faith, we'll call them faith fundamentals today as we talk about and dive into this series together. Faith fundamentals to encourage your faith. When I say I don't want you to feel like that scripture, without faith it's impossible to please God, somebody might honestly interpret that as, well, good. See, that's why God hates me, because I don't got any faith. No wonder. No wonder I'm never happy at you. No wonder. See, there, that explains it. That's why nothing good ever happens to me, because I don't have faith. It's when we just step into it. He wants to reward. He wants to reward whatever measure of faith you're willing to stretch out and believe him for. And listen, it has more to do with the God that you trust than you. Does that make sense? It's not all, sometimes we think we make it about us. Well, because I had some disadvantage growing up, or I had this and I had that, and therefore God. No, it's just how big is your God? How big is your God? And how much are you willing to step in and just trust him and believe him? Believe him. So here's some faith fundamentals. Number one, how do you grow your faith? How do I encourage your faith? You got to feed your faith. You got to feed your faith, and your doubts will starve to death. You got to feed your faith, and your doubts will starve to death. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you ever struggle with doubts? Oh, I just ask you not to raise your hand. Doubts. In fact, there was a scripture in the Bible that always just was, it would always get me, man. It was just, every time I would read this scripture, I think, got me. The Bible says, and it's not on the screens, I'll just read it, but a man who doubts is like the waves of the sea, tossed about by every wind of doctrine, thinking. Let not that man, or that man won't, receive anything from God. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I'd read that and go, God, I want to live a life of faith. I'm all in. Like, what am I doing? Lord, I want to follow you to the ends of the earth. It's too hard. I want to go plant a church in Liberty Lake. Let's go. Who's going with? Who's going? What? Not, what? Hey, ho. What am I thinking? It looks a little bit erratic, doesn't it? That struggle between faith and doubt. We got to feed our faith. We've got to feed our faith. I remember saying, we're ready to plant the church in Liberty Lake. We know one couple that lives in Liberty Lake. How's that going to fly? We don't know anybody there or in the Spokane Valley. And it's interesting to see as the cards come in, people filling out different cards, visitors and people coming and making Legacy Church a part of their life. Spokane Valley, Liberty Lake, Liberty Lake, Spokane Valley, Liberty Lake, Otis Orchards. Come on, shout out for Otis Orchards. Yeah. Liberty Lake, Green Acres. Yeah. And God says, hey, Gare, let me just remind you something. I got this. I got this. Feed your faith, man. Trust me. I got this. This is my church. Somebody had come up and remind me, a good friend of mine, just reminded me. He said, hey, I felt like the Lord wanted me to remind you it's his church. Ah, thank you. Thank you. It's good. It's a good word. How do I feed my faith? I got to read his word daily. I got to stay in his word. The Bible says, thy word, David, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. I got to get the word in me. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. I got to allow the word of God to illumine my path so I don't doubt. I don't have to wonder. God's word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll pierce bone and marrow. It'll cut, man. We got to get the word of God. Listen, we got to read the word of God, and we got to let the word of God read us and shape us and change us. It'll change your thinking. Read his word. Read his word daily. We got a reading plan on our website. Go to it. It's got a little drop-down menu and the soap. A way to study the word and journal and 2 chapters a day. It's a great tool for you to use. I would recommend you go there and check it out if you're still trying to maybe find a way to study his word. Read his word daily. Become a part of a vibrant, growing church. Maybe you're on the lookout. Maybe you're here. You're kind of wondering. I say step in. Go for it. Or wherever your church is, jump into that family and be a part. Be present. If it's here, man, help us expedite the mission. Let's go for it. Let's see what God has. Get into community. A little plug for our Connect group. So we got groups. We got people that want to get in circles. Seeing the backs of people's heads isn't enough every week. We got to get in circles and have conversations. One of the things that Patty and I are enjoying most about this journey is meeting you. I'm just telling you, we are at home and we're talking about you. Did you see? Oh, I can't. They're amazing people. I mean, we're just meeting, sitting down, having a coffee, whatever we can do to try to make a way to get. It's just amazing, the people. And then there's this thing that happens. We'll meet you, and then we'll go, oh, my goodness. If they met, do you know if they've met their, have you met, they met them yet? No, I don't think so. Oh, we got to get those couples together because I think they'll be best friends. We're like matchmaking friends. No, we can't do that. But we're just enjoying the people that God's bringing. And Gary, God reminds me, Gary, I got this. Get in a community. And let me give you another one. How do you feed your faith? I'm gonna tell you, this is huge. Worship. Listen, I'll put my Spotify on and put my James Taylor radio. And it'll play all these nice, cool little songs. Maybe get a little James Ingram going. One in a million. All good. But when I need my faith encouraged, I was in the parking lot of Best Buy yesterday, and I just needed my faith encouraged, and I find this often. And I'll say, Siri, play How Great Is Your Love, How Great Is Our God, by Belfast Worship. Just, that was what it was on my heart yesterday. And I just sat in the car and listened to this song. How great are you, Lord? How great is your mercy? How great are the things you have done for me? How great are you, Lord? Your loving kindness is filling my heart as I sing, how great are you, Lord. Listen, James Taylor can't do that. Can't do it. And I'm not saying anything bad about it, whatever. I'm just saying worship goes down to the core of who you are, and it changes your posture. I'm just telling you. It'll change your outlook. You're going to wake up and things feel dark and you feel like in a depressed mood, put some worship on. I'm telling you, it will feed your faith. Just find a song, find something. Play, oh, the overwhelming, never reckless love. But play that. Find it. Get it going and just let it lift your spirit so you don't go out that door defeated. Go out that door excited, or get in that car and listen to it and let it excite your spirit. Charge you up. Feed your faith. That's how. Number two, demonstrate your faith. There's only three. You demonstrate your faith by your actions. Demonstrate your faith by your actions. How do I want to encourage your faith by saying demonstrate it by your actions. And it's much of what we've already discussed. One of my favorite accounts in the New Testament is when Peter and John are going to the temple to pray. And it's 3:00 in the afternoon, the hour of prayer, and there's a lame beggar at the door of the church. The audacity, huh? At the door of the church, positioned there, and he's begging. He's got a cup, and he's asking for alms. He's asking for money. And when Peter and John come by, he puts the cup out. It's alms, expecting to get some money. Peter says, "Look at us." I don't know why he said, "Look at us." Like, look at our clothes. We ain't got money. He said, silver and gold we don't have. But what I have, I want to give you. Right? What I have, I want to give you. In fact, his words, but I'll give you what I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. And then Peter took the lame man by the right hand, helped him up. As he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed, strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, began to walk, walking and leaping and praising God. He went into the church service with him. Awesome moment. And we go, yeah, because that's Peter. Those kind of things happen to Peter. Then you missed it. Here's a lesson for us. When you want to move out in faith, God, show us how to move out in faith even when we don't have the resources. Okay, he didn't have the money. Hey, silver and gold, we don't got any money for you. So move out in faith even no matter what is needed at the moment, move out in faith. Find a way. God, show me what do you want to do in this moment? The beggar was asking for money and he held out a cup. And I just want to say this, that often the world around us is holding out a cup because I think they're always under asking. They're under asking. They're putting out a cup. And what the man really needed was his soul and his body and his mind. He needed a whole renovation. Like many of the people maybe we know at work or in our circles, in our neighborhood. But all they know to do is hold out a cup. All they know to do is say, well, money or sex or relationship or a job or career or upward mobility or whatever. They hold out a cup, alcohol, whatever it might be. Peter said, I don't have gold or silver, but what I have ain't going to fit in that cup. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And here's an important side note. I want us to capture this. The only way Peter could have said that is that he remembered in his mind in that moment, I walked on water once by the power of Jesus. I've seen the church grow. I've seen other miracles. I've seen things happen. We launched a church. We launched a movement. God's done some things. He had some stories to trace back to, right? And all of a sudden he realized the same God that said, you know what, greater things shall you do. He said, in this moment, hey, I got something better for you. The only way David could run out and face the giant or even get audience with the king to ask permission, like, do you mind if I go take him out? The only thing he had to go on, listen, that got him any credibility, what, was that he actuated, he leveraged his faith earlier before. He had stories to tell. Please hear this. He said to the king, I took out a lion and a bear once with rocks and my thank you, that thing. And if I took out a lion and a bear, I can take out this guy. We got to have something that where we exercised our faith back here, right? Exercise our faith. Keep it going, God. Keep me growing every day. Every day in my faith, God, help me to leverage my life for you. Sometimes it's simple things, honestly. Sometimes it's holding a door open for people and handing out a program. Or sometimes it's parking a car. Sometimes it's serving a cup of coffee in Jesus' name. Sometimes it's going across the yard, across the street to your neighbor and just making some cookies and saying, hey, just because, man, just God loves you. Just wanted you to know that. That's exercising that muscle. And you do enough of that, all of a sudden you have some stories to tell of what God did and what God has done. Does that make sense? We got to exercise that faith. Make the determination, I'm not going to sit idly by. I'm not going to not do something with what God's done. I'm going to put faith into action. Let me give you the last one. I want to read our vision statement. Go ahead and put that up there, Bree, if you would. We have a vision statement, a legacy, and here's what it says. It says, we operate with big faith because we never want to insult God with small thinking or safe living. We are comfortable with being uncomfortable. We are comfortable with being uncomfortable. We are comfortable with being uncomfortable. And sometimes to stretch your faith, you got to get uncomfortable, right? We seek to be faith-filled, big thinking, lay it all out there, risk takers. That means like we're wild and crazy and do dumb things? No. We just, God, I want to live that way. I want to live for you that way. I want to live a life of faith for you. Let me give you the last one. You enter the kingdom of God by faith. And I saved this one last on purpose. Because I needed you to see that there's one thing, that there's something that it very clearly in Scripture, there's something that your works cannot do and my works cannot do. Your works, your goods, your good deeds, your good days, your treasures, your money, your humanitarian efforts, just the fact that you're really a good person, it can't save you, it can't save me. I can't do enough good things to earn what Jesus did on the cross to save me. In fact, the Bible says it this way, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved. How? Grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. I can't say, well, yeah, if I was as talented as Rick, no wonder he's a Christian and no wonder things are going well for him because he's Rick. He had it a lot easier than I did. No wonder. Because we compare, don't we? We compare. We go, oh, well, see, that's why things go well for them is because they're and that, yeah. And imagine that if salvation worked that way based on how talented you were. Oh, well, no wonder because you do that or you play the guitar on stage. No wonder you're saved. Yeah, see? Never goes right for me. I always wanted to play the guitar. I can't. How can God use me then? Paul said, it has nothing to do with what you can do. You can't do. You've been saved by grace through faith. Jesus died for us to give us access to the Father. We receive that salvation by grace through faith, unmerited, unearned favor. It's a free gift. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I can't do that by being a good person. I can't do it. Not good enough. But God demonstrates his own love in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. he made the determination. You know, on Gary's bad day, he's going to have some bad days. But that doesn't deter my love for him. That doesn't deter his love for you. And you say, yes, Lord. So I'm going to die for him so he can have life, life everlasting. Would you bow your heads with me? We're going to pray. What happens when you receive Jesus Christ in your heart? The Bible says old things are passed away. That old nature, all that old. And everything becomes new. And out of the overflow of what Jesus has done, we want to respond. And it starts with salvation. Please hear this. Maybe you're just here and you're thinking, you know, I'm so far from God. I want you to remember the song we sang earlier. There's no mountain. There's no valley. There's no wall. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. It's one step back. It's one step to Him. And that's faith. So in a service like this, we would say, hey, if you want to receive Jesus Christ in your heart, and you want to begin a life of faith, it's as simple as saying, yes, Lord, that's what I want. I want that for my life. I believe you're Lord. I believe you're Lord. And now I want to live a life of faith because I believe you. And I want you to be Lord of my life. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to have you stand up or call you forward, embarrass you in any way. I want to pray for you as we close out our time here together today. If that's you, just say, Pastor Gary, would you pray for me? I want to receive Jesus as my Lord. And I'm on the front end of this thing, and I got a lot to figure out. And you know what? Here's what I want to say to you. We want to be a part of that. We want to help you. We want to walk alongside you. We want to celebrate. In fact, the Bible says when one person gives their heart to Jesus, all of heaven celebrates. There's a big party that goes on when just one person, one, says, I want to give my life to Jesus. So you could be a part of starting a party in heaven right now. If that's you and you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you. Would you just put your hand up, put it right back down all over this place. I'm just looking around here. Put it up, put it down. I don't want to miss anybody. Put it up, put it right up. I want to receive. Thank you. Amen. You can put it down. Anybody else here in the middle section, anybody? Just lift it up, put it down. I'll just pray with you. Sometimes you feel just a pounding in your heart. Just want you to know that the Lord loves you today. If you're here and you're like me, you'd say, man, I just want to live a life of faith. I don't want to doubt. I don't want to be tossed around. I want to be certain. I want to follow. I want to follow the heart of Jesus. I want to live a life of faith. I want him to be able to depend on me. I want him to be able to know that when he lays something on my heart to do, I'm going to respond in faith, even when it's not comfortable. Even when it feels awkward, I'm going to respond. Even this week, let's just say this week, that's you, this week, I want to live a life of faith. Come on, lift your hand up with me. This week, whatever it is, Lord, this week, I want to live a life of faith. Yeah, all over this place. Pray this prayer with me. And if you raised your hand on the first part, just say these words in your heart with me. Dear Jesus, I invite you into my heart today. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of the fact that I maybe tried to find my own way. Today, I want to dedicate my life to you. Today I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my days, Lord. I want to make a difference for you. And your word says old things are passed away and all that sin is washed away, and that you're making me new. And I want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for paying the price on the cross for me, in Jesus' name. And then, Lord, Legacy Church, let it be a group of people, individuals, Lord, that are just ready, are just done with sitting idly by. We're just done with it, Lord. We want to live a life of faith, faith in action, faith with action. Use us, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.